dinner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of two black feminists, New York City ho-identifying polyamorous women.
Sorry, women. I ran out of air.
That's us. Yeah. I'm Sam.
I'm Shanika.
We're Slam Pad Productions. Yeah, you can follow along to the conversation in this podcast by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising. Our hoes of the week are, because we got three hoes.
Yeah, it's like Ho City.
I got hoes. In different area. What the fuck?
I don't know that song.
Just die, man. Just give it up. I don't want to host this show with you.
There's either. A lot of love in this room.
No love. No love. Shanika. Our first hoe of the week is Kel D, SoundCloud user, who corrected us on SoundCloud. Last week we said that the SWAT team just showed up to Corinne Gaines' house, but they didn't. It was only after she threatened them with a gun. And she said, please read her story a little further. It's like, damn, you know, she called me out.
Although,
I didn't read it that far.
I don't know if it had to be that mean.
Bitches, if y'all don't get y'all facts straight, I'm gonna stop listening to this motherfucking podcast.
Like, I would just accept the... Actually, this is what it is. Because I read, like, three fucking things about it, and I feel like I just may have missed... Like, sometimes you just say something wrong, you know?
Well, shout out to Keldy for being a mean hoe.
Yeah, thanks for correcting us. But I don't need the sass, bitch.
I don't know if that was sass, though.
Anytime someone says, please do something, I'm like, what the fuck you mean, please?
Just like, I'm asking for it.
Yeah, right.
Just the defensive. Proper definition of bleep.
Just defensive for no goddamn reason.
Manny underscore fresh 15, shout out to the name, has been super engaged on SoundCloud and comments on like every episode.
Yeah.
Manny comments. We like that. For that reason, she, or he, I'm not sure, is a hoe. They are a hoe.
Welcome to the hoe army.
All right. And then we have iTunes user yayay96, who left us our first iTunes review in like mad long. Can you guys do that again, please?
Yeah. Let us know what you think. Yeah. It's like these two hosts, they hate their fucking fans. They hate their audience. When people are trying to make them better, they shit on them. We don't believe in personal growth.
No, we love everybody. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, so those are the hoes of the week. Bay of the week. Mm-hmm. If you guys are Adult Swim fans, Bay of the week or Bays of the week goes to Eric Andre and Hannibal Buress from the
sexy
Eric Andre show. Mm-hmm. If you like complete and total nonsense, this is the fucking show for you.
Yeah, it's mad stupid.
Eric Andre is hilarious. Hannibal Buress is hilarious. I would fuck both of them.
Me too. At the same time?
Yeah, actually.
With me?
I don't know.
As Lucas records?
Yes, even if Lucas is in the room, then yes.
Oh, that's fucked up, man. That's fucked up. Well, Lucas, just you gotta be there. Yeah. All right, self-care tip of the week.
Oh, yeah, self-care tip of the week. This is this thing I learned about anger. So this tip is from this book, Julia Cameron's The Artist's Way. Anger is meant to be acted on, not acted out. Anger is your friend. And I like this a lot, because a lot of times I feel people... Or how she, I feel like I just took her opinion, but I believe in it, you know? It's like, I agree. But the point of it is that anger, sometimes you're, like, pissed off at somebody, and the point isn't to, like, lash out at the person. It's to use anger as an indicator that something is not right with you, something is making you uncomfortable, figure out what that is, and address it in a constructive way. So don't get upset about being angry. Don't get upset about being angry.
Or
don't
I'm so mad that I'm mad.
Or don't try to control the fact that you're angry. Listen to it, and it'll help you figure shit out.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good tip. Well, we got the segment called Fuck That coming up, but first, a message from our sponsors.
A Minute for Running. Educated Running is an online-based running service. They can provide you with training from virtually anywhere, anytime. We are currently doing a 3-month training trial using their online training services, and we're going to tell you about our goals and how it's been going for us. I fucking love it. My calves are brolic. And I have, like, a new, like, workout structure, and I've never had one in my entire life.
That's dope as fuck. Personally, I stopped running for like 3 weeks now. It's mad hot. I was stressed out. I'm so sorry. But watching the Olympics was like, goddamn, I'm trying to get back into being fit again. So it's good that you have like a coach in your pocket. So if you guys want a coach in your pocket, Educated Running offers online training, which is a designated running coach who will log your workouts online bi-weekly, and that's $100 a month. They also offer private sessions. A private session entails an in-person meet with a coach. That's $100 an hour. They also provide mental training, in which a coach qualified in sports psychology will teach you techniques to get a mental edge on running, and that's $100 an hour. So we're offering a 15% discount on all of the aforementioned products. To sign up for any of these products, you can go to educatedrunning.com, navigate to the products page in the menu, click the product you want, and when prompted to do so, enter in the promo code INNERHODISCOUNT, no spaces, all caps.
Now pay a bitch!
We're poor. Hoes.
Yeah.
We need to pay Lucas.
That's really.
We like to pay ourselves.
The bitch we're referring to is Lucas.
Pay that bitch. Pay that bitch.
If you would like to contribute, paypal.me/innerho.
Back to the show.
Fuck that shit. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Except this shit is great.
So I posted a picture of Sebastian playing with my wig earlier, and all the comments were saying that my son is gay. He's 3. So everyone that's commenting, do me a favor, go put a wig on your boyfriend or your dad or your baby's father and then see if they turn gay and then let me know.
Amber Rose is fucking great.
As we knew.
She sells shirts. I think it's like Ask Mother or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love that. She could be my, how do you say it, Mother? I feel so stupid.
I never say it. I too feel stupid saying it.
Oops.
It's like before I learned how to say nigga. Be like, nigger.
And then people were like, whoa, Sam.
The hard R. She's racist.
And it's like, no, I'm just trying to be myself.
Mother.
So this week, good old Amber Rose posted a picture of her son, Sebastian, who is 3-year-old.
And very
three
cute,
years old. Mad cute.
He's got cheeks for days.
Cheeks for days. Mm-hmm. She posted a picture of him wearing her wig, which is like a twist out wig. I don't even know. Not a twist out, like it's just twists or whatever.
Yeah.
And so with the caption, this is on Instagram. LOL, of course, Sebastian had to be a spooky zombie in mommy's wig today. Crying emoji. And he's loving his Afro Babies t-shirt. Hard eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And so just mad cute. Just this kid. The trolls of Instagram chimed in and were like, yo, your son is gay. You letting him wear that wig is going to make him gay.
Mm-hmm.
You're being a bad parent.
Mm-hmm.
Your son is fucking gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so she clapped back in, I guess it's Snapchat, right? Because where else is that?
Yeah, that was Snapchat.
Yeah, she clapped back on Snapchat being like, I think my son is gay. He's 3, basically. Mm-hmm. And basically through a series of very Amber Rose, like, goddess ho woman of the
she
year.
She's the goddess ho.
Yeah.
Her and Rihanna are my 2 goddess hoes.
Yeah, so in a very goddess ho-like fashion, was just like, that wig is not going to make my son gay. You try putting a wig on some men in your life, or you put a wig on. Are you gay yet?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, why don't you read a book, mm-hmm. you ignorant fucks? And all with, like, the different, like, Snapchat emojis on.
Yeah.
Why don't you read a book before you comment? And she also very clearly said that, like, how somebody dresses does not determine their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So being very just fucking smart.
Yeah.
Hilarious. Sexy. And the perfect level of upset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's fucking badass.
It reminds me of those, like, memes that you see going around where it's like, this is why a kid needs his father, and it's like a little boy with his mom, and the mom and the boy will be matching or something like that, and the boy will like do the same pose that the mom is doing.
First
of all, there's nothing wrong with being gay in the first
place.
Yeah,
nothing wrong
but
at all.
But 2, parental interactions, there's no proven stat that parental interactions will make a child determine their orientation in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kids with gay parents aren't always gay necessarily.
Yeah.
So it's just dumb.
Totally. And also,
and misogynistic, really.
And also,
just another reason to, like, bash black moms.
Exactly. And I'd rather have, like, a good-ass black mom who spends time with their kid and shows love to their kid than, like, maybe a father who might not be all that great,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, it's better to have somebody who loves and cares for them and treats them like, lets them be, that was my favorite Instagram comment was, I love that you actually let your child live.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Instead of, like, forcing him into these weird, rigid rules.
Yeah, just let that kid fucking dance Enjoy and move himself. Around.
It's also sexist, just in so many ways, but, like, why is a marker of masculinity that's placed on a boy child so, like, people get so defensive about that, but meanwhile, little girls can play with, like, balls and wear pants and things like that. I mean, like, mm-hmm. sports balls, not testicles.
But I didn't even think testicles.
But I did. Jeez. And I had to put that out there.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, nobody's like, your little girl's gonna turn gay.
You're right, because it's...
Femininity is so scary.
Word. In theory, mm-hmm. a blowjob bar in London, or blowjob cafe, is supposed to open up in London. It's called the Fellatio Cafe. Spearheaded
That's
by,
not a good name, I just want to say.
That's terrible. It's like...
Make it a little more fun.
Right? Like what? What would you call it?
Get your dick sucked here, guys. There's like an arrow pointing to the store. I never said I was good at making names. I'm just good at critiquing names.
I'm good at giving criticism.
Exactly.
So this company called Bum Pics.
Also bad.
Yeah, it's like ass pictures? I don't know.
It sounds like bumps.
Oh, I should
think like razor bumps.
Oh, interesting.
Like Bum Pics.
Oral Delight.
Oral Delight?
Oral Delight.
Ah, that's really good. Nice job, Lucas. That's really...
Oral Delight. So basically the way this cafe would work in theory mm-hmm. is that,
they're spearheading the project.
it's all very dick-like jokes.
It's all head jokes.
So you would, it's female, blowjob givers, mm-hmm. sex workers, and, there's people give, male clients go to the cafe and get coffee. Mm-hmm. The waitresses will not blow you. They just serve coffee,
yeah.
which was so funny to me. So I don't know why.
It's like at strip clubs where people expect the bartenders there to get, like, freaky. Because the bartenders at strip clubs will look good, but they're like, no, I don't strip. I'm just trying to make your drink.
Yeah, I'm just trying to inebriate you.
Yeah.
So it's $65 for, apparently it's like a 10 to 15 minute session, but it's just like, what if you don't come in 15 minutes?
What determines that time?
Exactly, right? Who was like, this is how long it takes me to come. So my customers also
must come at that rate.
Yeah. If it takes longer, you want a little extra mm-hmm. extra suckin', ho-ho, it's $13 for every, like, 15 extra minutes or whatever. Yeah.
Are those good rates?
I have no idea. That's kind of cheap. I don't know.
Me neither.
Sex work like that.
Me neither. Pounds.
Oh, it is pounds.
Interesting.
Oh, okay. No, I would... I rescind.
The pound is weak. The pound is very weak right now.
It's getting...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So, we have a reason to be financially inaccurate, right? It's not done out in the open, which I would have fucking loved if you walked into a cafe and people are just... Like, that would have been great for me.
Okay.
Because I would just show up and watch.
I personally would not be able to come like that.
No.
With a lot of people watching. Maybe like a...
It's like a voyeur.
Maybe like one room where everybody's getting their dick sucked out in the open. One room where it's just a cafe. And then back rooms if you want your back room dick sucking.
The side room dick suck. The back room.
A very
dick
large
suck.
Facility. Yeah. All encompassing facility.
It has to be a massive cafe. It has to be a massive cafe. Yeah, male customers only, women 18 and up. Yeah. So
why is it male customers only?
It's not.
Why can't it be Cunnilingus Cafe, which sounds way better than Fellatio Cafe?
I think it's a great idea.
Cunnilingus Cafe?
I don't know. I guess that's just this guy's. The guy who founded it was like blowjobs. Because I would love to get head in the morning. Blowjobs. I feel like head in the morning is great. Like, mm-hmm. if that's how I start my day, I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, nothing can go wrong that day.
Yeah, even if like several people die, I'm like, I had good head this morning. So it's fine.
A massive attack has happened here.
Then Vice came along with their fact checking and shit. Mm-hmm. And Vice was like, this actually probably isn't going to happen.
Damn.
Because apparently London has very strict sex work laws. So mm-hmm. you are legally allowed to be a sex worker.
Mm-hmm.
That's not criminalized. You do need a permit. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that process is. Mm-hmm. But you cannot like own a brothel or profit off of somebody else's sex work. And even like in some places, like even if two sex workers, like if you have permits for sex work, you cannot even be living in the same place out of fear that like it might be a
sex work
situation. I'm not sure. And I also don't know if like this has negatively impacted sex workers or has like kept people from being exploited, because brothels are not like usually not good. Mm-hmm. You know, if it goes wrong, you know, the place could get raided. And then if those sex workers are not from there, they could get deported, beaten, arrested, and, like, you know, it could be a potentially dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. And Vice is basically, like, there's a very slim chance that this is going to be legal, mm-hmm. and it could actually just put a lot of people in danger and mm-hmm. end up in arrests. But I like the idea of it a lot.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, I told him it was, at first I told Carlos that, I'm sorry, I don't know how you react to this. I'm your mom, and you're my son. And I am falling in love with him. He said, are you really? I said, yes, I am. He said, you know what? I was scared to let you know, too. I am, too. He was, too, falling in love with me, with his mom.
Up next, mother and son fucking. But, yeah, that's what it is.
it's like, what else would that mean?
Yeah, right? So there's a couple. Monica Mars, 36, and Caleb Peterson, 19, our new followers, Mexico. Whoops, that was a typo. From New Mexico. Basically, this woman, Monica Mars, has 9 children. She gave away her son, Caleb, when she was 16. Mm-hmm. They reunited via Facebook, and they were apart for like 18 years or whatever. And so they reunited. And
they're apart for... Oh, 18 years.
Yeah.
Because if it was 20 years, they would have met before he was 19, and then it gets extra sticky. But
yeah, but this is, he was a legal adult. So basically, they met up, they were living with each other again, like he moved in, mm-hmm. And after like a week, apparently Caleb said that he started to have feelings for her, and she said that she was falling for him. And apparently they were just talking, and then they started kissing, and then kissing led to other things, and then now they're deeply in love. And they're being charged with incest mm-hmm. right now, which is a 4th-degree felony, which it's punishable for up to 18 years. Mm-hmm. That's like the how severe it is. Not, I don't feel, that's a long fucking, no, 18 months. I'm just fucking kidding. I'm fucking kidding. Okay, I take that back.
Like, wow.
18 months in jail.
Okay.
18 months. I'm like, wait a sec. And I was gonna be like, that's not that serious. But something wasn't adding up.
Wait, and then what? Like, what if you keep incesting?
They can't, because then they can go back to jail. So they're supposed to, right now they're ordered not to see each other. Like, these they were interviewed by...
How did people find news? This is so
neighbors,
much.
Neighbors were just like, I think they were just not getting along with the neighbors. And I think the neighbors reported that something was strange. So I don't know.
How do the neighbors know?
Right? They must have been like being real lovey-dovey.
Neighbors don't even know my name.
Just fucking on the wall.
My neighbors hate me.
Fucking on the wall.
Right?
Your neighbors hate you?
Yeah, all the kids in my building hate me.
Yeah, they like John, though.
They really love John.
You know it's a you thing?
Yeah, it's specifically me. but yeah, so they have sexual feelings for each other. I personally feel like this is like... this is a good gray area situation, so I'm not going to put any solid opinions down. You know how I feel about pedophiles and sex offenders. I'm not here to, like, be like, Shanika, that fucking bitch with those opinions. But I think that, like, if there weren't other kids, so she has 9 other kids, two of the kids, like, call Caleb their father. That's not true. That's not the case, you know? That's their brother fucking their mother. that's what that is.
Good morning, mom. Good morning, brother fucking mom. What's for breakfast? Oh,
that's
no.
Just what it is. So apparently,
ooh.
Yes, I feel like in theory, if they're 2 consenting adults, mm-hmm. she didn't raise him, you know, so it's not like she saw him. They both say they didn't see each other as mother and son.
Couple of things.
Oh.
Couple of things.
Yeah.
First thing, incest is legal in all 50 states. I just wanted to say that.
Oh, yeah. It's legal. Can't happen.
What was the other thing? She said she's willing to give up the rest of her kids to be with him.
That's what it was.
What in the fuck is she talking about?
So that's difficult. That's where it's like, you have 9 children. You have 10 children, really.
But I gotta fuck Caleb.
Yeah.
You're on your own, guys.
Yeah, what happens to
those 9
kids?
See you in another 18 years when I can fuck you.
want to. I'm so sorry.
She's probably not going to want to fuck with him, to be honest.
She did say that if she had raised him, she would not have been attracted to him.
No, she said, probably. You were probably in there. And that changed the situation drastically.
That's probably true, though. No, she probably wouldn't have.
Probably, but also the fact that the probably is in there makes
she's
me feel
sure.
very strange.
She's not sure.
Yeah. Sorry, Lucas, what were you going to say?
Oh, it's like that's actual psychological thing. It's like,
I see.
Oh, this is some research done by Lucas, reported from something Oxford journalist. It has a .org at the end of it, so I trust
this is fucking legit.
In order to avoid inbreeding, humans and other animals develop a strong sexual aversion to individuals with whom they have lived closely in infancy and early childhood, usually biological siblings, a phenomenon called the Westermark effect or negative sexual imprinting. Interesting.
Okay.
That's cool. Oh, interesting. So I guess because she didn't live with him, that just didn't happen.
Yeah.
It seems like, you know, it's like one of those sad situations where, you know what, their love seems like a valid thing. Based on these things, it seems like they're into each other, but it doesn't seem like responsible to give up your 9 kids for
anybody. The fact that she
anybody.
Said that and the probably thing really makes me look at her like, what's going on there,
yeah.
man?
It just seems like a lot to me. if that hadn't been the case, if there were not 9 children involved and they could just kept it on hush and no one ever knew,
mm-hmm.
I'd have no issue because I wouldn't know. What I don't know is not my business. Is anyone getting hurt? Does not seem like it to me, you know. But also, I don't know what Caleb is doing with his life. I'm not. Sam, what are your thoughts, Sam?
My ball is in a fist. My fist is in a ball. I can't even speak. I don't know. It just skews me out, man. Like, obviously, as a pro-choice feminist, I'm like, do whatever you want. Don't hurt anybody. But damn, it's fucking weird.
Yeah, she's not seeing her kids now.
It's also weird because she's 36 and that kid's 19. I don't agree with that in general. I know that you have
so
your
I have
your
my
age
ways.
Things going on. But already I feel like that's a situation where somebody that age can easily take advantage of someone that age.
You're right.
I also don't know what background he's coming from or like what he was seeking when he went to find his mother and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he could have already been like a person who was easily manipulated. So, I don't know.
Do you see her as, like, a sexual assailant?
By law? No.
But personally?
I don't fuck with that bitch. I do not fuck with her.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. It's all strange. The story did also say that he came on to her, as opposed to vice versa.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
And also, like, maybe it's just best to not... What was annoying was people comparing it to, like, gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, people...
People love to do things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's like,
I don't
stop.
Know why.
Calm your fucking nipples down.
Yeah. Calm down. Self-care tip of the week. Calm down.
So, I guess I'm that bitch with the gray area.
It's also, like... I don't know. There's just... There's so many people out there in the entire world...
That your biological son has to be...
That's the one who you would give up your kids for?
It's also
that just makes me question your judgment.
Yeah, and it's also those poor kids must feel abandoned. You know what I mean? Like their mother left to go fuck their brother.
Yeah.
And how does that affect them and their idea of relationships? Because that does not seem like a healthy relationship.
Mm-mm.
Like, you probably shouldn't be giving up your 9 children to go love somebody.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which also makes me wonder, I want to know more about her background, where she's coming from, what she's experienced.
Yeah, true.
You know what? I take it all back. This is not a good situation. But I don't think jail is appropriate. I think it's more like evaluate their resources and their environment and how can this be a more
and
healthy
who they are as parents.
Yeah, but they
just the fact that she's willing to do that makes me feel like she's not
a
fit parent.
She needs a little some and yeah. She's willing to give up her 9 children.
Yeah.
That's more than like
for a 19 like I just don't even
for a 19 year old
in general, a 19 year old.
Yeah.
That's already like, whoa, what are you doing? But now it's really, whoa, what are you doing? Because that's your son.
You know, it is fucked up now that I think about it. It's fucked up.
It's all wrong.
I'm not in the gray area.
If this was like a 50-year-old parent and like, let's say, a 30-year-old child, and they met each other later in life, and there was no damage that would be done to the family, I'd be like, I still think that's weird. But, you know,
none
go for it.
God
You're
damn,
not hurting anyone.
Yeah, and as long as you don't have kids... Like, as long as you don't... Because then I think you're, you put your kids at risk for some severe disabilities or some severe, like, diseases. Like, if you have a disease, then your kid will definitely have it. If you want to adopt a kid, I don't know, though. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
Incest is interesting.
I don't know, actually, what the offspring of an incest relationship does. What I've heard.
Yeah. But
there's lots of things that can happen.
Yeah, many things.
Like what, for example? Okay. It's just like, all I know is, like, Game of Thrones and, like, Joffrey was a dickhead. His parents were fucking. That's all I know. The other two kids were fine, actually.
So then, according to that, this is fine, then. This is okay.
Kids of incest are dickheads.
Just one of them will be a dickhead. The other two will be great people.
Yeah.
So, a little timid, but that's it, you know. Not great leaders, but...
But so according to Game of Thrones, that's the outcome of the situation.
Yeah, it's okay.
So ultimately... Yeah, I don't think they should go to jail, but I really do think she's being irresponsible. I hope those kids are okay.
Mm-hmm.
They should not be calling him dad. They should not be calling him dad. They are calling him dad. Oh, two of them are calling him dad.
You said three of them are calling him dad?
Two.
What's her youngest child?
I don't know.
Because what I meant before, the, like, negative sexual imprinting thing was, like, let's say there's, like, a three-year-old. She don't really know that three-year-old like that. Come 17 years from now, she probably want to fuck that three-year-old, too.
The thing is, I don't... Oh, interesting. I don't know how old the other siblings are.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, if there's a really young one...
Because then she could be sexually preying on her own children. But, like, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
This is deep.
Oh, God. Does she have a face tattoo?
Was she does. That up?
That's Arnie.
She does have a face
tattoo.
Arnie,
a question of judgment. I'm so sorry.
I love face tattoos.
Teardrop?
I don't remember what it is, but she does.
I think it's a large one.
I love that. I'm fond of this.
A large teardrop. Everyone that I've killed, all of them, just in one. Oh, but yes, this thing, genetic sexual attraction.
This happened to another couple.
Mm-hmm.
Except, like, when parents, kids are separated from their parents, they get back together, and then they just want to fuck.
Wait, hold on. They both have teardrops on their face.
Wait, what?
I hope that was before they met.
I believe that that's not a birthmark. He has two teardrops, right?
I hope. I.
Oh my God!
They got they got matching teardrops for their matching jeans.
Wait,
am I right? Yeah.
Wait,
scroll up.
Sam is so mean. I'm like a little sympathetic. I just want everybody to be safe.
Yeah. No, I am still in the...
Oh, God.
As long as you're not hurting anybody camp.
Cool. But it seems like people are getting hurt.
Yeah, I just don't trust these two individuals in particular. And I'm probably biased because they are engaged in a genetic sexual attraction relationship, so I feel like I am being biased.
She might have.
But all else removed, like, if they weren't mother and son and fucking, I'd be like, this is weird.
Because of the age?
She wants to leave her... Because of the age and her wanting to leave her children for a boy of that age.
That's also her son.
That's odd to me.
Well, we take that...
out of
you have to take that out of the conversation.
Because it's like, never forget. That's her son, goddammit.
No, you're right.
Oh, man.
It's a problem.
But, like, if there were two, like, totally cool people who... I feel like I do sound like people who are like, you know, it's not my business, but do what you gotta do when they talk about gay people.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's what I sound like. I really hate to sound like that. If there are two people who aren't making poor decisions, like, Face Tattoo 1 and Face Tattoo 2 over there, I would love to interview them on the show.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, this isn't the best. It does not seem good.
What was that other story?
It was a mother and son, same thing, separated, got together later, were madly, fiercely attracted to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I remember.
He'll marry a woman like his mother.
Yeah, the thing is that it's what's interesting to me is that this is not uncommon, is that this is, like, a thing that does occur. But also, there's, like, billions of people on this planet, so, like, of course the same things will happen.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is. It would be a good episode of something for us to investigate at a later time.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's also interesting because she's facing, like, death threats and attacks and
shit. That I don't get. Why are people that mad?
She must have a bad rep with her neighbors to begin with, and they're like...
She has several teardrops. She might have, like, wiped out three of them.
Oh, no! Oh, no.
I will walk 500 miles, and I will...
Oh, we have two more stories.
More just to fuck my mom as she walks through the door.
Jeez.
Damn.
Up next... Do you have a hard time waking up in the morning? Could a vibrator help you out? If so, the Little Rooster is the product for you. The Little Rooster is an alarm clock that's a vibrator. It goes in your panties. I think it's mostly for...
your panties.
It's mostly for women. It looks like a spatula, like a weird spatula.
It does look like a spatula, and I don't understand that, honestly.
It's a spatula with a short little handle, and the flat part, like, goes on your mons, and, like, the little... The flat spatula part has, like, two buttons, and you can program it as 30 different, like, vibration settings, which seems excessive to me.
Me too.
So it has to be extremely incremental, otherwise, like, you're tearing my vagina apart. It also has, like, a travel mode, so you can see, like, 20 minutes from now vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, apparently it starts off gentle, so it shouldn't wake you up, and then it just slowly gets more and more aggressive.
That's nice.
Yeah, I feel like
ease
that
you out of a sexy dream or something like that.
I was getting murdered in my dream last night, so this would have been useful to me. It was rough. Mm-hmm. It was a bad dream. It does not go inside of a person's vagina.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of just, I guess, just lays on, like, the labia or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, the labia and the clitoris. I know exactly what all that is.
The vaginal package, the vulvic package.
About $77, rechargeable. And you can, like, so I was reading some of the reviews on the site about how people use it.
Mm-hmm.
One woman was saying she was using it on a date or whatever, and she just she felt really great because, like, no one knew why she was enjoying dessert so much.
Did the date?
No, he didn't know.
That's really funny.
It moves, it's like,
I guess it's quiet.
It is quiet, yeah. It's interesting because it seems like people are using it to wake themselves up, but also some people are just using it as a sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, this other couple was saying that, like, their kids, sorry, it's a weird way to introduce this. They were saying that, like, because they're so busy, she'll sometimes wear this, and, like, before they'll plan sex, and they'll wear this, like, as they're putting the kids to bed or something. It seemed very fucked up to me. Mom, you seem so happy today.
This is just a very parent-centric episode.
Yeah, it's very odd. It's very strange. So it's a Little Rooster. I would definitely buy it and try it out
mm-hmm.
if I had money.
Yeah.
You know, like a significant amount of money. Like, exactly. When I didn't need shoes and sweaters and shit.
Yeah.
I would buy this vibrating clock.
Yeah.
I don't know why it looks like a spatula.
I mean, I guess, like, is that the term ergonomically?
But I feel like
it makes sense.
Spatulanomically.
It could be like designed. A triangle instead of that spatula type thing, but maybe the spatula is so it, like, stays in place, like,
yeah,
a little more
maybe.
Surface area.
I feel like it's the panties. It's like being in your panties is what's keeping it in place, not necessarily the design. It just looks weird.
I just realized you have to wear panties with this. I'm not wearing that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't wear panties in bed.
Me either. I sleep naked. Mm. And especially if you want to cuddle with somebody, it just doesn't seem...
Her weird spatula thing is on my back. And I don't want it there.
Yeah, it just seems fucked up. Like, hey, babe, can you not do that?
Exactly.
Be like, well, I know we've been together for 3 years, but I'm going to have to get rid of you because I need this. But it seems interesting. I think... like having a vibrator on in public, I feel like that's also rough though. Like, you get extra wet, so, like, this doesn't seem like a good travel idea for you.
Not a good situation.
Yeah, I don't want to be moist in public.
I also don't want that here.
I just don't.
There's a device in between my legs.
I just don't want it.
Doesn't feel comfortable to me.
Yeah, so that exists. So guys, check it out, try it out, let us know what you think. Buy one for us if you would like.
Word around the office is you've got a fat cock.
Yes, I do.
I've got a fat cock, too. Maybe we should rub our fat cocks together sometime.
Up next in some grim news.
Great acting skills.
Trying to switch it up. So the UK, there was this UK study done by... A study done in the UK... by TUC and the Everyday Sexism Project that interviewed 1,500 women about workplace harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the conclusion is that half of all women in the study face some form of harassment. And as I was reading, like, what constitutes as harassment, I was like, damn, I feel like I've been harassing people. It's like unwanted touching, hugging, sexual jokes, sexual advances. I'm not doing all these things. I'm not doing all these things.
Damn.
Showing people explicit images, which I was
hey, look
editing.
Look at this dick.
It's more like I was like, hey, look at my breasts on my computer at work. Oops. But also, don't be fucking over my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
This is personal. I'm sorry. This is don't be having sex over my shoulder. But yeah, so as a lot of women, 35. I'm just gonna read some stats because I think they're very they're all telling.
Alarming.
Yeah, over a third, 35% of women had heard comments of a sexual nature made about other women, mm-hmm. which I think that is fucked up. I hate that. I was like, oh, look at her ass there, and I have overheard that, but I didn't think about that as sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. just under a third, 32% of women had been subjected to unwelcome jokes of sexual nature. Mm-hmm. She's like, hey, you know what one dick plus another dick equals? Two dicks. You know, that's bad.
So funny, Charlie. Thank you.
Thanks for that. It's like in the middle of like a meeting. Exactly. It's in the middle of somebody's presentation. It's like, hey, fuck what Brenda has to say. I have this joke. Over a quarter, 28% had been subject to comments of a sexual nature about their body or clothes.
Nice titties.
Which is just like fucked up.
Yeah. That's like blatant where everyone should understand that this is sexual harassment.
I understand how some forms of sexual harassment might not seem like it, mm-hmm. but I get you just shouldn't be sexual at work, apparently. Just none of it. Mm-hmm. One in five women had experienced unwanted sexual advances. Obviously, very clearly sexual harassment. Mm-hmm. 1 in 10 women had experienced unwanted sexual touching and attempts to kiss them. Sexual assault.
That's extremely alarming. 1 in 10 is a high ass.
It is. 90% of the perpetrators were male, and it says in quotes, shocking. That's when your UK studies are sipping tea in their studies. Or they were a colleague. 77% were colleagues, or 17% were direct managers. Mm-hmm. Which is extra shitty because, you know, you don't want to lose your job. You don't want to report them because who do you report them to? Your manager. Your manager's harassing
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
You kind of, you have to leave your job, or you don't want to leave your job because you have kids and it's like hard to find jobs sometimes.
Yeah.
So it puts women in really vulnerable positions.
Mm-hmm. And then HR places are weird too because sometimes like, I don't know how this happens, but sometimes like, I guess it's in smaller businesses, the HR place are also the people who like control your paycheck and stuff like mm-hmm. that. It's like, I don't want to fuck shit up with that person, you know?
Exactly. Like, that's why I personally think a solution or like a good way to go about reporting sexual harassment is with a third party agency.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, it's like you're trusting, is it like the wolf to something about the lamb? I don't know. Some sort
of God quote? Is that from the Bible?
It's the wolf will lie down with the calf and the fatling and they shall all do something together. I used Proverbs to go to church, but it's not even that. It's just like trusting people to report on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Obviously can't do that.
Never works out.
79% of cases went unreported. And it's like the common narrative. And when people reported, they were either blamed or nothing actually happened. Mm-hmm. So women are facing some shit in work or at work. It's like a lot of people though, you know? Yeah. And women are also, we're also not paid as much as men are paid. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we should be paid more, especially if we have to deal with this shit.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. That's a part of your job too, dealing with people's bullshit.
Yeah, just pay me exponentially more.
I feel like... like, it's sad because we're going to get into whatever topic for fuck it later. And it's like, conversations about sex and sexuality should be open. So I would love for people to be able to discuss sex at work. But it's like, we just don't treat women very well sexually in this country at all. Mm-hmm. So we kind of just have to eliminate it totally.
Yeah,
which
exactly.
Which sucks. Because that doesn't foster, like, open and good and honest conversation. Like, sometimes sex just comes up. Like, it's a fact of life. It shouldn't just be eliminated, but...
yeah. Yeah, totally. You want a culture that's more like
open.
Know. Yeah.
But not dickish about it.
Exactly. Yeah, you want sexual comfort. I don't know, that sounds so strange. But not obvious harassment. Mm-hmm. And I think like you can tell if somebody is but sometimes people won't say they're uncomfortable, but also if someone's not responding to your joke or your comment mm-hmm. with any sort of gusto. Because, mm-hmm. Like, me and my friend, we were talking about how, like, we were, like, greeters or whatever. Mm-hmm. We were like, we have to make people comfortable. We'll make them real comfortable. And it became a joke about, like, us, like, when guests came, it's like, coffee, tea, blowjob, whatever you need. And that was clearly consensual because we were both laughing about it and joking about it. Mm-hmm. But obviously, if you're, like, doing that and someone is just, like...
stone face, yeah.
Yeah, then just don't. It's weird. It's also hard because, like, thinking about me here, me little old sexual harasser.
Sexual harassing everybody.
Sexually harass 30-year-old men and up. That's what I do with my time. But, like, yeah, I think you just have to be asexual. Don't flirt with anybody. don't make eyes with anybody.
Yeah, that's like the safest thing to do.
Yeah, it's like they could. I was gonna say they could be married, and then the second thought was, I don't give a fuck. So, just have to not.
Yeah, you don't give a fuck.
You just gotta hold it all back.
Hold it all in.
Yeah.
And masturbate when you get home or something.
Exactly. Or at work. Like, just kidding.
Oh, just no. Just kidding.
But there was no one was around.
That's it for fuck
that. That's it for fuck that. Now on to fuck it. The segment of the day.
Topic of the day.
Which is parents and sexy things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The birds and the biddies.
Birds and the biddies, or
your parents have sex.
And what if
they? Or they have had sex at some point.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, you know?
So not everybody's parents have had sex. I feel like parents are important. Or parental figures and guardians. Because not everybody has parents.
Mm-hmm.
But just like your
shout out to my orphans. Sorry. Every day I'm orphaning. What's happening? Okay.
Anyway. All right. So, I think parents, guardians are very significant in teaching us mad shit, mm-hmm. like in general, about like mm-hmm. human relationships.
Yeah.
But, like, usually if you spend a lot of time with them, they show you how to be and how mm-hmm. not to be.
And if you don't spend time with them, that shows you different things.
Yeah. And it's also, that's when you look to, like, other people in your life,
mm-hmm.
other figures in your life, mm-hmm. basketball coaches, church choir teachers.
I relate to all of this. The evangelical WNBA player, Samantha.
I relate to none of this.
Sam Ridd.
Okay. So, yeah. What have your
parents taught me about sex?
Sex, relationships, just the whole fucking...
The whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So in regards to sex, I've had very few explicit sexual conversations with my parents. Like, the first, I told this on another episode, but the first, conversation I guess I had with my dad was, I didn't understand how genetics worked and how a brain could develop inside of a woman. So I was just like, and I already knew what sex was or whatever, maybe from porn or whatever the fuck, I don't know. But I was trying to really ask him how an egg cell and a sperm cell create new human life or whatever, and I asked that in some, like, weird 7-year-old way, and he was just like, you're not ready to understand that yet, Sam. And in my head, I was like, no, nigga, I know about the fucking, I just want to learn about the science of it all. But he didn't teach me about the science of it all.
I mean, maybe you weren't ready to handle the science.
What he was talking about.
It's like, you know, we could go into how the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and shit, but
you're not ready. true that. And then when I got my period,
oh yeah,
my mom threw the pads at me and was like, and you have to be safe because you can get pregnant now, Sammy. And it's like, who am I fucking? What are you talking about?
How do you get? How does one get pregnant?
I already knew that though. Yeah. So like, did they know I was a whore? No. I wasn't. I was just very curious. What else happened? Yeah, then when I was like 16 or 17 or something like that, after I did start having sex, I got a couple of UTIs in a row. On my first UTI, like the doctor said it, I think I was explaining my symptoms to my mom, because that's after my mom like moved out of my house or whatever, like mm-hmm. after my parents split up. And I didn't want to talk to my dad about it because it was like, this might be something that's happening because I'm having sex and I don't want to talk about the fact that I'm having sex with my dad. So I explained it to my mom and she was like, yeah, it just sounds like a normal UTI or whatever. And obviously you can get a UTI from not having sex. Like mm-hmm. people who are virgins can get UTIs and stuff like that. She was like, yeah, they'll just give you some antibiotics or whatever. But then at the end of the conversation, she was like, you're not having sex, are you? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, you are having sex? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, okay, Sammy. Well, you know, just use protection and stuff like that. But, yeah, it just sounds like a normal UTI. So have your dad take you to the doctor and everything will be fine. So she wasn't like, she didn't freak out on me or anything like that. She also didn't say much.
Well, use protection.
Oh, my daughter is a whore. No.
She is a fucking hoe. I had a feeling.
I knew from jump. I knew since she came out of the womb. And then I told my dad, because he had to take me to the doctor or whatever, your titty just fell out fully.
It is your full titty. I'm just sitting here with my breasts out.
Getting real comfortable here at the end
of my friend. If you include this, it's just my tit was out. I'm wearing not really a shirt.
Yeah, a very loose shirt. That's really a shirt. But anyway, yeah, so I told my dad, and I guess this was his way of saying, you know, if anything is ever fucked up sexually, like, you can come to me or whatever. But I was just like, I think after I talked to my mom about the UTI, my mom called my dad and talked to him about it, because I was just like, I don't want to say this to him or whatever. And he was like, yeah, so your mother told me about the urinary tract infection. That's how my dad talks. What do they call it? Urinary tract infection, right? He was like, yeah, you could have told me, Sam. Like, you didn't have to go through your mom to tell me or whatever. And he was like, if anything is happening, you can just tell me.
Aww.
So, yeah.
That's, I was just a good, like, thing. Well,
as last resort, when fucked up things happen, I'll come to I can always, I can always count on my dad, but I just still feel like things are too awkward or whatever. Yeah.
But you know he's not going to, like, yell at you or beat you or hurt you.
Yeah, exactly.
As a result of sexual activity, which exactly. Not everybody has that, exactly. That kind of support.
Yeah.
That awkward support.
You can get into your sexual stuff, and then, sure, I guess we can do relationship stuff after.
Had a crush on this guy in, like, middle school, whatever the fuck was before middle school. It was a 3-year crush on this guy, and it was like, looking back on it, I was already, like, all the things that feminism has helped me with, like, this is, like, when I was, like, developing shitty ways of relating to guys, you mm-hmm. know, like, doing things, like, dressing certain ways, like, changing certain things about myself to impress this guy I was interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, he was just some, like, doofy kid with, like, a sweatshirt. You know? It's like,
did he always wear this sweatshirt?
He wore it very frequently, and I really liked it. But, yeah, just, like, not a healthy way. He's like, you know, I wasn't feeling comfortable with my, like, my body, my self-esteem. And it was, so basically this crush was, like, kind of, like, taking over my goddamn life. Even mm-hmm. though I was great at school, I was just, like, writing, leaving this kid love notes and, mm-hmm. like, dropping my, like, porn books off mm-hmm. my desk. Mm-hmm. I was dropping porn.
Wait, why'd you have porn books?
It was
a manga. I mean,
thank God for manga. Hentai. So I remember I wanted to tell my mom, and she was like, I just wanted to tell somebody, you know? Because mm-hmm. I was like, I gotta get this off my chest. Because mm-hmm. it was massive to me. And my mom, so my mom was greasing my hair. It was in those perm days. Mm-hmm. Glad those are over. I was like, I just mentioned, somehow it slipped that I had a crush on this guy named Chad, and it was just a crush.
Mm-hmm.
Purely a crush.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Not even reciprocated.
Yeah. Not even reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And she just, like, started saying, like, you know how many girls come into the hospital pregnant? They're 13, 14. And, like, she just, like, kind of got, like, mad and was, like, very, basically, like, girls get pregnant young. It was like a scare tactic, basically. Yeah. But very, like, aggressive. And after that, I didn't talk to my mom about sex or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk to her about it during my, like, high school, mid-college years mm-hmm. at all. It's kind of sad to me now that I'm thinking about it, because I feel like, not that she necessarily would have been, like, a good person to know about relationships from, but, you know, it would have been nice to know that what I was feeling wasn't unusual, or that I wasn't, like some, like, just fat, black, sorry, not black and bad, like the bad kind of black. I felt like black was bad back mm-hmm. in the days. Like, it would have been nice to have some positive affirmation from my mother during those times. And I remember I actually got, like, some really good words of advice about crushes from this woman who was, like, the mother of a girl from my dance class.
Mm-hmm.
And her, like, she was saying that, you know, just focus on you, work on you, and, you know, be so busy that you won't even notice when the boys come for you, whatever.
Yeah.
And that was, like, really sweet. And it was, like, really empowering. And it was, like, I was, like, crying in the hallway. I was a very emotional young kid. I cried a lot. I was very sad. I was dealing with a lot and, like, didn't have people to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then I didn't explicitly talk to my mom about sex until I was having a fucking UTI. I started having sex with my boyfriend, John, in college.
UTIs and mom.
Yeah. That's because that's when I have to be, like... And you know what? There's, like, a whole, like, 8 months of my life mm-hmm. where I was having terrible vaginal things happen. They could have all been mitigated, like, if I had had somebody say, hey, after you have sex, pee, mm-hmm. wipe, and you're all good. Mm-hmm. It's all set. Like, nobody gave me that advice. And my friends knew this. You knew this. You knew me when this was happening.
I was the one who told you that.
You know, you're right. You were...
Oh, give me that accusatory hand.
Sorry. You were my education about UTIs. And that it's kind of, like, way too fucking late.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm going to these doctors, and these doctors are probably assuming, oh, this college-educated young woman probably knows to like wipe her fucking vag after she has sex. But I'm just like, it's just like body juice. Like,
yeah.
What's wrong? Yeah. It's like, you know, I was doing like normal stuff, but so there's that. And then just, I don't know. My mom was also asked, she asked me once if I was on birth control at the kitchen. I think it's because I was having weird, my vagina problems. She's like, are you on birth control? And I was just like, just condoms, which was painfully awkward. It was it was a short ass conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Very short. And in my mind, I'm just like, you know, there's a huge gap between asking me if I'm using birth control after I'm living with, or basically like in a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
And when I first told you I had a crush on somebody and wasn't having sex. Mm-hmm. So I basically felt like I was left to fend for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like was not doing well.
Yeah.
You know, so I kind of wish that I'd had some sort of
totally
talk, just even if it was like sex, don't get pregnant, but like, no, I don't wish I had just had any old talk. I wish it had been like a good life affirming.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how your body works kind of mm-hmm. talk. Because health class is also like, that's when you do your fucking homework.
Yeah.
You know, like sex ed is shitty in America. It was shitty in my school. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't even paying attention because I was like trying to get other shit done.
Yeah.
And then my dad, I'm trying to think, like he would drive me to the gynecologist, so, mm-hmm. like, he knew when I was having vagina problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never, like, a weird, we never talked about it. It was just, like, you know, if he had, like, I know I can talk to my dad about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything, but, like, a decent amount of things. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell something?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess my parents inadvertently taught me this, but, like, you know how in schools, like, people, like, play booty tag and stuff like that?
No.
And oh, really? I'm sorry. I forgot you went to school in Long Island. It's tagged with, yeah, it's tagged where you just touch girls' butts and stuff like that. And that's tag you're it or whatever. So people play booty tag and stuff like that. And I was never cool to do things like that, which I'm not upset about or whatever. But at some point, they started doing, like, this weird kiss tag thing.
Whoa.
Where they would, like, pin girls up and kiss them or whatever.
Pin them up? What do you mean?
Like, if there's a gate in the schoolyard, they, like, pin them up against the gate and kiss them.
It's kind of hot if you want that, but if you don't.
Yeah, and I guess people playing do want it. Because okay. They're all playing together or whatever, but I don't think I was playing. I think I was just, I would, like, stand with, like, three other girls who were also losers and make fun of everybody else. And that's always been my life. But, yeah, I think I was doing that, and I was just, like, joking around. And this boy, like, pinned up one of my friends and kissed her. And then he pinned me up and kissed me, like, somewhere, like, on my neck or something like that. And I went home, and I don't know in what capacity that I told my parents. Cause I don't think I was, like, really upset about it, like, I was sexually assaulted or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just told them about the story that was happening. And my mom was like, oh, no, 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 no. This is not what's happening here or whatever. And she, like, wrote a letter to the principal and stuff like that. And she was just like, boys cannot do this. And they can't, like, put their hands on girls without their consent and all these things. Wow. Or whatever. So I was, like, a feminist asmo. And both of my parents were involved. It was just, like, my mom was the more aggressive parent or whatever. And I guess that's why she, like, spearheaded the process or whatever. But they taught me that sexual assault was wrong.
I appreciate that. Really early by standing age. Up for you. By yeah. listening. You felt comfortable enough to come to them. And they were like, oh, no, no. Like,
she's like, yeah, those were, like, literally the worst that she said. We won't stand for this. That's her, like, New York accent and shit.
I love that.
Yeah.
Fuck
totally
yeah.
Totally forgot about that, but yeah.
So, I guess, yeah, I guess that's, you all know my life. I guess everybody knows my life story.
Do you want to get into parents as role models about sex, sorry, relationships?
Yeah, I'd like to talk, so that's, like, formal sexual talk, sexual learning things, but yeah. Things that we've learned informally, mm-hmm. I guess, about sex and relationships. What have you learned informally about sex and relationships
okay.
from your parents?
Let me go on my little list or whatever. Yeah, a lot of stuff, just in regards to, like, how my parents interacted with each other and stuff like that. So I guess, like, when I was younger or whatever, because my parents aren't together now, but when they were together, it wasn't until, like, right before they divorced where things were, like, clearly, like, people are headed towards a divorce here or whatever, but, like, mm-hmm. just, like, little, like, relationship-y spats and stuff like that, like, whenever my dad was, like, mad at my mom or whatever, or there was, like, a tense situation, he would just, like, go out and play pool and then come back and then, like, discuss things with a level head and stuff like that.
Oh.
Like, I feel like my dad's a lot like me in that when he gets angry, he can get really, really angry, and that during the time it was happening, I wasn't really, like, soaking it up or whatever, but then, like, seeing how I interact in relationships now, it's like, I obviously need some time to cool off or whatever, and he's always been that kind of person. And then also, my mom was, she was also a very angry person, but then, like, grew to not be so much of an angry person now, and they both sort of do this thing where if there's, like, confrontation or whatever, it's not that they'll, like, skirt around the confrontation or whatever, but they'll, like, approach it with a level head. Nice. And kind of take that, like, you catch more bees with honey as opposed to vinegar type situation, which I totally was not doing for, like, the first couple of years in my relationship with Akeem. Like, I can be a real bitch, and I think I was being a real bitch for a while or whatever, but, like, now, in regards to how I communicate, I think I'm a lot better, and it was, like, me reflecting back on how they do things and how they don't, like, get into fucked up situations or whatever, and, like, huge, huge arguments.
That's, like, super mature. So I feel like your decision-making abilities are gonna be shitty if you're, like, fucking raging.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not really...
Exactly.
It's like when two people are just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you're not talking anything.
Yeah, it doesn't do anything. So when things did start getting bad or whatever, I guess when, like, they were both aware that, like, they were headed towards a divorce or whatever, I don't know if I'm just, like, a nosy child or if...
Maybe.
Like, my little brother was little and my older brother was, like, growing up and things like that, like, approaching 18, 19 or whatever, and just out of the house and doing what he was doing. And I'm also just very observant, so I would see, like, when they would, like, go into rooms or whatever and have, like, deep-ass relationship talks, and I would honestly, like, go to the door and listen and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I hated it at the time. I was like, oh, no, my world is ending. My parents are getting a divorce. But then, like, reflecting back on it now and, like, looking at my views on monogamy, it's like... And just marriage in general. Just, like, seeing them having issues in general made me feel like maybe marriage isn't the best thing. And maybe two people together forever is not the way it's going to be. And also that that's okay because they're both, like, well-rounded individuals who didn't, like, die from it or anything like that.
Yeah, they're still, still alive.
Yeah. And also just, like, because my mom was, like, not to put out too much business, but, like, she was the one who would, like, really initiate the talks and stuff like that because she was, like, unhappy in the relationship. So it's just, like, if and when you're unhappy about something, talk about it now. Like, don't swallow that shit and, like, be 5 years into the same fucked up relationship or whatever because there's just no point. So, and that also taught me, like, after she got out of the relationship or whatever, after they divorced, she did, like, a lot of things, like, on her own. Like, she moved out. So the first time she was, like, living alone since she had fucking forever, because she was, like, with her parents, then with a boyfriend, then with my dad.
Wow.
So it was, like, independence or whatever, and she, like, started traveling and stuff like that and doing more events. So it's, like, she kind of, like, she would say, like, she wished she did all this stuff before she got married and settled down. So it taught me, like, live your life now and, like, grow as a person before, if you want to settle down, before you settle down. And then also, like, just because you settle down, it doesn't mean it's time to, like, stop growing or whatever. Like, still do your shit. In terms of gender roles in relationships, and just gender roles in general, my dad is, like, Mr. Mom, and that's totally okay. And he's also, like, Mr. Dad, too. Like, he cooks, cleans, and gives good advice and listens to you when you need it. And he'll also, like, fucking... train you during a sports regimen and stuff like that and, like, weightlift with you and stuff. So really taught me that, like, masculinity and femininity mean nothing, even though he's, like, a Jamaican man and he'll be like, well, men act like this and girls act like this sometimes,
and yet
he doesn't fucking display it at all. So
that's so interesting. From there, how people I learned can from be this. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, like, your upbringing or whatever, like, you feel stuck to these rigid roles,
but except it doesn't actually affect how you actually live your life.
Yeah, and I definitely see him imparting that on my little brother, so.
Which is good.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Those are, like, fucking great lessons. Yeah, I don't want to air out my parents' business, but I think it's safe to say that if you saw my parents, you wouldn't be like, here's a young, budding couple in love, or two people in a relationship that has withstood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up, they fight a lot, fought a lot, argue a lot, finances are a constant source of tension in their relationship. I think I saw them kiss maybe once or twice in my entire time of, you know, knowing them.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing them fight significantly more than that. So yeah, I have a very good relationship with my boyfriend now, and I think it's like the complete opposite of what my parents have. And it's like, you know, they're two of, you know, like if you think about them as individuals, they're really kind people. Like my mom's like a fucking like ICU nurse, and like, you know, people like hurling racial slurs at her, and they're bleeding out, and she's like, well, I'm gonna help you out here. Mm-hmm. And then my dad is just like always down to help you. They're just like two people who for some reason are not good for each other. I don't think they communicate very well. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, years of not communicating leads to just dissatisfaction that is unresolvable eventually, you know. Gender roles are interesting because my father is not super physically well. He is sometimes, you know, but my mom like works a lot and cooks a lot. My dad was unemployed for a little bit, which, you know, was a hard time. I think it can also be pretty like emasculating, and like they just seeing like just people going through a hard time being so close to each other and not being supportive or loving towards one another kind of doesn't help anybody out. There's like a lot of driving in Long Island. Yeah, it's just what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And just, you know, every time we'd pull up to a bank, it's just like, all right, the fight's gonna start in 5, 4, 3, 2. It's like that, like, wow, that frequent. And it's like almost predictable. So yeah, and there's just so much, and I won't share it all because, you know, I didn't ask them if I can I air out your dirty laundry, guys? Do you
yeah,
mind?
Yeah, go for it.
But ultimately what I've learned informally is, you know, love the person you're with, and if you don't, you know, make moves to be out of relationship with them. Mm-hmm. But I guess also financial independence or emotional independence or whatever, those are hard, because sometimes you're with somebody because you have kids, and it's like, well, you know, we pay the bills better together than we do separately. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've been growing up in the same community, your family's in the same area, and like, mm-hmm, there's kind of a shame around divorce, or even bad relationships, then you don't really want to air that out to people. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to go through the process of moving if you've lived in the same place forever. So I think I kind of see the factors that do lead to shitty relationships that are kind of long lasting and might just be like that forever. I know it's mad grim. So it's just basically, I don't think I'll have a relationship like my parents have, because I'm with John now, I'm mad happy, and I just like, if I'm feeling uncomfortable, I'm very open about different things. I can just hope that he's being as open with me, mm-hmm, and that we're both keeping it super honest. 100. Yeah, keeping it 100. 100. 100. Mm-hmm. That's what I learned informally. Mm-hmm. And have you been like do you feel like you've ever been a sexual guide for somebody, aka your little brother?
No, I'm not. I feel like if, this might sound like an excuse, it probably is, but, I feel like if my brother was, who's like 18 right now, if he had displayed any sexual interest in anyone or anything ever, then I totally would have been like, yeah, so this and that, huh, right? but like, he just doesn't really seem to give a fuck, and I don't think he's like doing, I don't think it's like a very good front or whatever. I think he's just like not ready or interested in that yet, which is totally fine. I'm not like concerned or anything like that. Even if he was asexual, that would be totally fine too. But yeah, like if he was like going on dates and stuff like that, I'd be like, hey, so, but like, there's just nothing. It would just be like a very odd conversation to start, because it would be sparked out of nowhere or whatever.
So I hear you're eating that hot dog over there. Let me tell you
that
about
it. That hot dog looks like a penis. No. but yeah, one time I was trying to get a pen from his bag or whatever, and I saw a condom in there, but it totally just looked like a, this is health class, and I got one single condom.
Oh,
and
it's, I see, like,
crushed from having books on it and stuff like that.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. So around that time, I was like, maybe it is the time to, like, introduce these topics or whatever. So I was gonna, like, ask my mom to talk to him about it, because it would be odd for me to bring it up out of nowhere as a sister, but as a parent yeah, it's like, well, you know, we've never had this talk before or whatever. So I don't know, I'm just like waiting to see
that first spark of anything in those,
yeah,
times.
Exactly. No, he's just like, he's like mad nerdy or whatever. Yeah, he's just chilling, like into stuff.
He's eventually, one day he's gonna happen.
comes home with like 16 pregnant girlfriends.
Like, this whole time I've been growing a clan. Of the, we're going to be a ninja family.
The true polyamorous of the family. Yeah.
I had like the talk kind of with my little brother the other day. Mm-hmm. He was saying that he was going to a concert with this girl who I knew he had a crush on. Mm-hmm. Who I think she's in Harvard or something. She's like a cool. Wow. She's like a cool person. Mm-hmm. Seems nice. They still talk to their friends, and he's like, "Yeah, we're not dating though." And then that's I was like, "Ah, it's time." So.
Exactly.
So my first thing was that, you know, it's okay. I feel like it's better to have like a good solid friendship with somebody, than to have like a relationship that might not work out or whatever. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's okay to just be friends with a girl. Mm-hmm. Then I got into like, you know, sex, and it was like, if you're going to have sex with somebody, make sure you use protection, mm-hmm. Oral sex, either giving or receiving, you should still use protection. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, you know, I think I talked about like STDs. I didn't go nearly into details about how people can get STDs. I got to have a sex talk part two. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be like, hey, by the way, remember that conversation?
Let's break it up.
Yeah. Cause we have the same like random, like what the fuck kind of humor. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't think he'd be like, oh, so you're walking? Let's talk about this. And he won't care. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I also have to teach him about consent, you yeah. know? So I was just like, make sure that your partner says yes. And then it was like, if the person is intoxicated, either, like, drugs or alcohol, mm-hmm. Just don't do it. Just don't have sex with that person. You know, if you're really that into the person, wait until they're sober and can clearly give you consent or whatever. Mm-hmm. Same for you as well. I'm pretty sure I said that, but I feel like I didn't. So that's going to also be in part two, is mm-hmm. that you can also be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. So don't have sex with anybody if you're intoxicated or whatever. So and it was like simple. And he had like some good, he's like, yeah, I hear about like, a lot of stories about that on college campuses. And I'm like, ah, yes, he's hearing the right things.
Yeah.
He's like a well-informed kid.
That's reassuring.
Yeah, so I just wanted to. And it was good, and I feel like I approached it well, just to pat myself on the back, but I didn't, you know, I didn't assume, I was like, you know, any lady friends or guy friends.
Yeah.
I always say that, any ladies or gentlemen? Mm-hmm. And he's never, like, I think I did that, like, maybe 15 times before, and he used to, like, give, like, a weird chuckle, like mm-hmm. a, like, oh, I'm not gay, like, awkward kind of laugh, but now he's just like, nope, no lady or guy friends or whatever. He just, like, just goes with it now. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just want to make sure that he is, like, knowledge and support and feels comfortable coming to me
yeah.
about things. I know it's hard because, like, in college I was, like, mad busy. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's, like, an injured toe. And he's just got a lot going on in his life. And I just want to make sure that he doesn't, you know, he has the knowledge he needs to not make a stupid decision
yeah.
That could, you know, affect the rest of his life. Because, you know, he's, like, a young, budding, cool kid who can just take over the world.
That's good, man. You're yeah. a good sister.
Thanks.
Yeah, I think it's good that you imparted, like, that, not just, like, use protection or whatever, this is what sex is, blah blah blah, but like the consent situations. Mm-hmm. I try to like drop in gems like that on my little brother or whatever, like in regards to what I've learned, like being a feminist and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like if you're watching TV or whatever and it's like somebody's doing mad fucked up something really fucked up towards a woman or whatever, just like dropped in and be like, well, this is wrong and this is why it's wrong or whatever. Mm-hmm. My brother's usually very receptive. He's always actually very receptive to things like that because he's not a dickhead or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, like if you're listening at home and trying to figure out when's the time,
it's always
whenever you're consuming media is a great time.
Yeah, because the world is so fucked up, you could be like, here's an example of this shitty thing and that shitty thing.
Exactly. Sorry, you got it. you gotta do that. That's what.
Oh, okay.
Very funny.
Oh yeah. And I guess to end it,
they ever walked in your parents?
Oh yeah. And then so, thinking of her, I don't know why, it's so creepy to think of your parents as, like, sexual beings, but mm-hmm. as Lucas explained earlier, it's like a fucking,
what is it called again?
Stuff.
Why are we talking about the reverse imprinting?
Yes. Yeah, reverse yes. imprinting.
Negative West, sexual Western imprinting.
Mark Western Mark effect.
Thank you, Western Mark.
That's why we're creeped out by, most of us are creeped out by our parents sexually.
Yeah.
But, so the story that Sam wants me to tell... is I was very young and I was like showering with my dad, you know, I was so young, and I just remember I wasn't even talking about my dad's dick. There was like some weird sponge that was like getting all moldy in the corner and I was like, what's that, you know? But it was like I pointed and it was a way that pointed like to my dad's dick, and he was just like, that is my penis. And then that was it. That was the end of the conversation. That was it.
I am dying. Just his phrasing. Oh man, he was just so clear and upfront.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna be like, well, what's it used for? Like, I just had to, I had known enough that like you're like naked bits are like sex bits.
Yeah.
But it was it was awkward. Even then, it felt awkward. I was still, I've always been able to feel awkward
from birth.
Yeah.
The nurse hesitates in holding you're like, oh. This feels weird.
Something strange.
Oh, man.
You have any similar stories?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I was just curious or whatever. Because, you know, I feel like daughter-mother relationships, whatever. You see your mom naked, it's like, okay, that's fine or whatever. Whatever. I used to look at my mom's panties a lot. Whatever. One time I wore them.
They were on.
Okay, fine. But, yeah.
What?
I just put them on. I was just a
Were they clean?
Yeah, they were. They were fresh out of the laundry.
Oh, that's fine.
And then I think afterwards I put them, like, in a hamper or whatever.
Okay.
So really there was a pair of panties unaccounted for that she washed already. And then all of a sudden we're in the dirty clothes again. But one time I was just like, what are penises? You know, what are they? So, like, I knew that my dad was changing with my mom in the room, and they didn't leave the, they didn't, like, close the door fully, and I was like, this is the time, and I just looked. I don't think I've ever told anyone that before.
Oh, yes.
Breaking news right here.
Interho Uprising exclusive.
And I was like, oh, okay.
That's what that is.
Curiosity satisfied. Yeah, it's on my dad's dick. Oh, God.
I do have seen my father's dick.
That is my penis. Yeah.
So little. I didn't even mean it. I knew what it was.
You weren't even asking.
No, I wasn't. But thanks, Dad.
He was like, ah, the moment has come.
To just explain.
Exactly. That is my penis. All right.
Oh, God.
I guess that's it.
Yeah. Ever walked on your parents having sex?
I don't know. I have this weird memory, but I don't know if it's a dream or not, where I'm like, I'm like sleeping on the floor. And I just heard them dirty talking, and I do not want to get into what they were saying.
But
I don't know if that's real. Or, like, if it is a dream,
strange.
Why did I make that up? if that's how they were dirty talking, what the fuck?
Why were they doing that with you in the room?
Like, either way, it's fucked. I don't know if they knew I was in the room or not, because I was, like, sleeping on the floor by the foot of their bed.
Why did they know you were there?
I don't know. The lights were, like, I don't because I don't quite remember, like, did I sneak in there after a bad dream or something like that? Or did they, like, really think I was, like, out cold and, like, not conscious enough of a human being to remember?
How old were you?
Did it happen? I believe I was, like, 5 or something like that.
So why was your dirty talk so advanced
exactly.
at 5? That's
exactly.
why it's probably real.
It's all weird. I hope that didn't really happen,
it's like,
though.
Yeah, you fucking slut. I'm going to come on your fucking
dick. I don't want to talk about
Sorry.
Yeah.
I walked in on my parents once, but they were very close, and I was like, something interesting is happening here, but also there were dinosaurs in my dream and they scared me.
Yeah.
Somebody help me get back to bed. Mm-hmm.
Did they say come in, or did they say
my dad put me back to bed, and I had a dream about the same fucking dinosaurs.
It was meant to be.
They came back.
Oh,
I was
man.
upset.
Yeah, dreams, kids, and sex,
babies, parents.
Yeah,
and that's it for the
for the entire podcast ever. That's it for fuck it.
Now on to
fuck me.
Segment about our lives. Our great ass lives. Not like the last segment was totally about our lives though.
This whole show is about our lives and our perspectives, but this is the specific beats if you want to know what's going on. My period stopped.
Yeah.
Woo, my gums also stopped.
Woo!
I went to the dentist and they were like, you might have to take these out, my wisdom teeth.
Oh, I thought you meant all your teeth for a minute.
All my teeth, my uterus, my innards. Yeah, because I was like, it always happens during my period or whatever. Mm-hmm. They were like, yeah, it's totally a hormonal thing, but also your wisdom teeth are growing that way. And she like pointed outwards out of your mouth. And it's like, okay, well. So basically like the flare-ups do happen because of my hormones, but they're worst, especially around my wisdom teeth, because my wisdom teeth are impacted. So I have to go and see an oral surgeon, and the oral surgeon has to say whether or not they're even able to be taken out in the first place, because depending on where your tooth is lying on the nerve, they won't take it out. So
you said it grow out the side of your face?
Yeah, I'm gonna just be good old Gums McGee, Gums Samantha. But yeah, so the reason why it gets all inflamed or whatever is because since they're laying on their side, food goes under my tooth and irritates my gums, and it just stays there. But I clean my gums out for this reason. Like, I've always known that my wisdom teeth were a little bit impacted. I just didn't know it was, like, that bad of an issue for them to be removed, because my dentist never told me. But it's just, like, one day without fucking clearing that shit out, and they can cause that much pain for, like, 2 weeks in conjunction with, like, weird period hormone things. So I would rather just take them out as opposed to, like, forgetting for one day and not being able to talk for a week. Yeah. Hormones are just really, really bad. So I am prone to acne or whatever. I have a really oily face with, like, open pores. And I guess whatever, my hormones just want me to get pimples. So that's another reason why I wanted to go on birth control in the first place. And while I was on that birth control before, I started breaking out during the same time that my gums were hurting and that I was bleeding for 20 days. So, like, I'm off the birth control and my gums aren't hurting anymore and I'm not bleeding anymore, but I have acne on my chin, which has never happened to me before. Like, maybe, like, one, but I have 3 pimples on my chin right now. A whole bunch of pimples on the side of my face, and I just feel like, you know?
It's hard. Because do you have acne when you were younger?
Yeah, I've always had. Okay. I've always had, like, a pimply T-zone. I've always had pimply cheeks.
Yeah, even just rubbing my fingers on my T-zone, which I shouldn't do. We should never touch our faces, apparently. Like, you should never touch your fucking face. Mm-hmm. But that's always, it's, like, rough and gross there. I want to go to, like, a fucking dermatologist and have them, like, fix everything.
Yeah. That's what I want to do, too. But, yeah. I mean, it's, like, mostly an internal problem or whatever. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah, it's your hormones.
Yeah.
Being rude.
Yeah, so this new birth control that I was prescribed, a lot of people on their reviews are like, you can take this and it might make your acne better, or it might not, but if it does make your acne better, it's going to take a while for it to get better in the first place. And I was going to start yesterday, and I was like, no, I'm not taking this shit.
At all?
I'm not sure. I just really want my face to clear up, because I don't want to look like this right now.
If it means anything, I didn't notice until you brought it up, and I only noticed one pimple.
See, and that's like the, what is it called? Like, facial dysmorphia.
Oh, when you think
your face is just way more fucked up than it really than it already is. But
no, your skin looks great. Want
clear skin. And then also this week was particularly hard because it was mad humid, and I had my hair in those twists since we were on Negroes with a podcast, like, before that. Like, I washed my hair on Wednesday, and I, like, did these, like, tight-ass flat twists, and I had these curlers in, and I'm like, yeah, the twist out's gonna be bomb as fuck. It already came out like nothing.
Aww.
Like, from jump, it was nothing. And then, like, throughout the course of the day, it just shrunk so tightly onto my head. Like, my hair, like, your hair is actually cut short. My hair was lower than your hair, which is actually short hair. Like, the shrinkage was just so fucking real, and it wasn't, like, it's just, like, random-ass shrinkage, you know? It doesn't, like, it's not, like, a cut.
It's not even.
It's not a shape or anything like that. I just felt bad.
Shrinkage can be fucking heartbreaking.
Exactly.
Before I chopped my fro, it was just, like, I remember a hot-ass summer day.
Mm-hmm.
It looked gorgeous in the morning. At least, I guess that's where it went well. It's, like, at least I was, like, yes, it looks good. By the end of the day, it's just, like, tightly matted.
Yeah.
And even, that's like the short hair is, like, cool, because, like, this, my hair is, like, it's longer than this, but, like, at least it's, like, it's intended to be short.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But when you, like, put effort like that in, you're, like,
it is heartbreaking.
You're, like, hyping yourself up, like, for this twist out.
Exactly. And I put mad products in it and stuff like that. Like, not too much products or whatever.
But just enough.
Got my gel, my moisturizer, my good oils.
You had a nice self-care routine.
There was no point.
Your hair is moisturized and nutrified.
You're right.
It just didn't look the way you wanted it to
look. You're right about that.
I fucking hate that.
My dad was also, like, very affirming. I was just going around my house being annoying to people, like, you see how long my hair actually is? And look at it now. My dad was like, that's good hair. That's African hair.
Aww.
It's made like that to retain moisture. I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thanks, Dad. Whatever, thanks, Dad. Dad.
Yeah. What a nice man.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
All right. So I went on a date on Wednesday. Went on a date on Wednesday, and I'm going to nickname this guy. I know he's had a nickname before, but I forgot it. I don't think it was a good one.
So I forgot it, too.
We call him BJ the Chicago Kid. So, date started off on one of the hottest days. It's obviously a heat wave in New York City. If you're not from here, congratulations, because it's fucked up.
Here to Washington, D.C. knows our pain.
It's okay. All right. I'm sorry. But it's fucked the fuck up. Yeah. So, I got dressed up. Oh, it was interesting. So, it's, like, kind of hard because, like, you know, John and I live together, and, like, you know, I wasn't, like, going on a date. It was, like, the code word is, like, I'm going to go see a friend, and he just, like, assumed that I, you know, I can tell that there was, like, a knowledge, so I was, like, getting, it's, like, weird, because, like, I like getting ready for dates. Like, John and I went out, had an epic date day on Monday, and we got, like, you know, I was, like, I'm going to look all sexy for you. But, you know, I'm kind of, like, doing the same thing for, like, another guy, but it's, like, not as fun.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, me and John, like, when we hang out at home, we, like, try to hang out, we, like, hang out in the same room. Like, we're very, like, together, like, all the time. And, yeah, but it was, like, kind of interesting, because he was, like, helping me with things. He was, like, he's moisturizing my body, as he does quite frequently.
I love that.
Giving me a back massage.
I wish I had a live-in boyfriend.
Live-in boyfriend.
Just to moisturize my back. He does. You can be that's dismissed afterwards.
Right? Just, thank you. Goodbye. But, so yeah, but then he was just like, you know, living, he's like, be safe. And, you know, there was no meanness and just, or anger, you know, he just said I was going out and that's how it was. It was a little awkward, but then I was like, you know, he's, you know, dealing with his discomfort. And I know he doesn't want me to, he wants me to be happy. So I don't want to waste his efforts and not have a fucking lit ass time, you know?
Good point.
So it's hot as fuck. And I put all this work into looking good. I liked my outfit. I don't remember it. I don't know why. I just don't remember it. Yeah. Don't remember anything. and I did not stop sweating from, like, moment one to the end of the date.
Yeah.
Never stopped sweating. So I was supposed to meet this guy on this, like, cool, like, raised railroad kind of thing. Like, a cool park. And, like, it turns out we like, met up at the wrong place. Like, I went to, like, 34th Street. He went to, like, 14th. So, like, oh, we'll just walk in until we meet each other. And it was, like, so fucking scary because it's just, like, every person that kind of looked like him was like, that's him!
That's him!
And that, like, then I remember when I did spot him because I recognized, like, a hat that he'd had from Instagram. And I was like, oh, there he is. And it was just, like, it started off, like, real chill, like, real friendly. Hey, what's up? How's your day? Mind you, the day before, like, we were sexting very intensely, and he was, like, saying some sexual-ass things. I was, like, wet at work. And, like, apparently, like, he was hard.
You know each other very well.
Yeah. He was like, hi! Just so funny to me. But, yeah, he's mad tall. Very cute, flawless skin, nice, funny, my favorite age.
27,
but fair fucking age. Hope he doesn't die at this age. You know, I don't want him to join.
How many months does he have left?
I don't know. I gotta find out. Gotta say bye just in case. and yeah, it is fucked up. yeah, so it started off well. We just walked for like hours, like 6 hours of walking.
On the Highlands still?
No, we like walked around like this start off in the West Village. And then, like, I was like kind of pretending that we were meandering, but I was like, we're gonna walk to this taco shop. And then we're also gonna walk to this improv theater. it was just nice. Like, fell into easy conversation. He's very talkative.
That's good.
Like really pretty light brown eyes. It's like so cool. He's like, and he also revealed, he's had significantly more sexual partners than I have. He's had somewhere between more than 50, less than 60.
Okay.
I've had 4, you know? And in my mind, I'm like, damn, of all the people, it seems like he can just get it, like, he just can get sex when he wants sex, you know? He's also bragging about how great his head was, and like was talking about it via text and also in person.
What's an interesting in-person conversation.
It was like he was saying, he's like, oh, I'm kind of boring, you know, I'm a good photographer, I also get pretty great head.
that's a funny guy.
It's like up there on his list, and it's like so, like, it's very sexy to me that he's like very confident about his head sexual skills. And like we went to this improv theater, and he was this is a weird way to get into this, but we were having a conversation at the improv theater, and he just basically was like, yeah, I think, like, you know, I'm just very open to, like, bodily communication or whatever, like a list of my partner's body. Oh, he's just like, you know, I believe that sex is like a language. You don't need, like, a big dick to know how to speak that language. And then at some point he was just like, you know, I think I'm just a very attentive lover. I'm whatever you need me to be in the moment.
Aww.
I was just like, damn, 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 damn.
Seriously.
Damn.
Yeah, sounded great. Man.
Yeah, no, I would love to.
Good.
I would love to. And then also, at some point, I was asking him, like, he was saying something about his dick. Oh, because he says a lot of
things about his dick.
Yeah, we were talking about his sexual history, and it's just very funny because he had some really great stories. Mm-hmm. And one time he was talking about, like, some girl, like, blew him in his elevator. He's like, I don't know, I guess it's likes my dick. She really liked it. And I was like, how big is your dick?
Like, that's the question.
Yeah, like, that's my reporter ass voice. And he was, like, describing it, and he's like, you know, it's not huge or anything. But he wanted to be like, you know, like 6 or so inches, 6-7 inches, you know, depending on if I'm erect or not, and, like, you know, the head's kind of big, but I'm more girthy than anything else. And I was just like, check.
Describing the perfect dick.
I was gonna be like, I think I gave him a thumbs up. I don't remember what I did. Because I didn't want to be like thirst monster, like,
yeah,
I love that dick. Let me see it like that. My favorite fucking dick. My favorite kind of dick. I didn't want to be like that, so. So I wasn't like that. And so I introduced him to the art of improv. Mm-hmm. If listeners don't know what improv is, it's a form of theater and comedy combined where a bunch of actors start off in a scene and they just make shit up for humorous purposes. Mm-hmm. And so I introduced him to that. And, like, oh, and then he kissed me on the park bench. It was funny because I was trying to go for it. Like, that was the reason, like, I sat down on this particular bench in this spot. But I was just being mad awkward. I was like, all right, if I lean my body this way. And then, like, a fly or something stupid got in my eye. Something dumb happened. And there was, like, a dog somewhere nearby. No, and I was like, this is not this. I can't do this. It was all fucked for a moment. And I was like, Zika, because I was getting stung by, bitten by fucking mosquitoes. It's like, this is not going to work out.
Zika.
And that's when I noticed how beautiful his skin was, because I was like, excuse me, as I, like, wipe myself down for the 50th time today. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, flawless fucking skin. He was not sweating. He was not fucking
that's
sweating.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful man.
He's a beautiful man. And then he was just like, oh, wait, hold on 1 second. And I turn around, and he, like, kissed me.
Aww.
That was nice. And then we walk, like, a few feet to, like, the crosswalk.
Like a peck or, like, an open mouth?
It was like
did his tongue touch your tongue?
You know, I don't specifically. I know there was, like, a lot of, there was saliva action. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, like, a deep tongue kiss, but it was, like, a. Is it, what is it? Chaste. It was a chaste kiss.
Okay. Chaste.
I always do that. I was like, oh, Marcus Garvey. But I was like, it's Marcus Garvey.
That's so funny.
I'm like, fucked up. I can't pronounce shit.
That's okay.
And we were walking to the crosswalk, and then, like, we were just talking, and he's, like, tall and whatnot, so I'm, like, looking up.
Yeah.
And he just, like, leans in and gives me a peck on the lips.
Aww.
And it was like, ah, you know.
That's real sweet.
The sound
sounds
I made
like a
inside.
Great
it was fucking great. Mm-hmm. And then at the improv theater, like, there was, like, it was a free show. So we saw four improv teams, 2 hours of, like, free fucking comedy.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was so cool. And, like, in between, like, the theater went all dark, and he was, like, he had his hand on my leg, and it, like, slid up my leg and did, like, a short-ass clit massage. I was, like...
Above panties?
Above panties.
Okay.
Above panties.
Okay. Very, very chaste of you.
A very chaste clitoral massage. And then, towards the end, we were just talking and walking, and I was, like, he's talking about his dreams and ambitions and why he likes what he does. And I'm, like... It's all impressive. It's all real good. Mm-hmm. It's all great. It's a good person, good heart, good soul,
aww,
good body,
that's nice.
Good dick. I assume.
Check.
And then, like, we were trying to make out. We were trying to find places to make out, like, bars and shit, and it just wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. And then we were close to, like, this train station, and we were like, this is the dark street corner. This is where it'll be. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like down the block, like, four people were trying to get high, obviously. And, like, we were making out a little bit, and, like, some man with, like, a cane was, like, grumbling his way by, and I'm like, this is so creepy.
Has it ever been that hard to make out in the city? It was, like, particularly hard in this moment.
It was really difficult.
It was that old.
Especially since, like, via text, you were, like, I was, like, we're gonna find a bar, and I'll finger you under the table, and, like, it got real sexy.
Wow.
It didn't get to happen, because, like, it was such, like, a, we were not in an area with, like, dark, crowded bars, mm-hmm. and it was just a Wednesday. Gotcha. So yeah. I don't think the environment was there. Mm-mm. But it was like, you know, I really like him. And then we left. And it was like, oh, bye. All awkward and shit.
Kiss goodbye?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just don't remember a lot of things.
That's fine.
I don't remember his name. and then, yeah, and so we've been, like, texting since, and it was, like, the next day. I don't know if I said it first or if he said it first. I was like, oh, he said he was distracted on this, like, photo shoot he was doing. I'm like, oh, why were you distracted? He's like, oh, because I've been thinking about you all day.
That is so sweet.
And I was just like...
Those are the types of things that you need to text people.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I've been thinking about you all day, too, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's been good. And then, yesterday, he was like, oh, yeah, I sort of kind of miss you. I'm like, oh, I definitely miss you.
That's really sweet.
Yeah, so it's, like, in a good place. So I like him.
Oh,
yeah, I like him, and I'm gonna see him again hopefully Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What'll we do? Who knows? Maybe finally go see a fucking movie.
Yeah,
so we can sex it up there.
Finger fucked,
or see Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
just like watch it.
Yeah,
like actually watch a movie.
Yeah, nah, we gotta see like fucking no. It can't be Zootopia.
You gotta.
it can't be a kids' film.
It could be.
See Sausage Party and then have a sausage party, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
You gotta see like a real movie and then find one of those movie theaters where you can sneak into another movie and then have sex in that movie theater.
Oh man, I'm just so bad at that. That's my.
All right. Fuck me. Excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, me too.
The Chronicles of BJ the Chicago Kid.
Yeah.
Begin.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's it for
Fuck Me! Now on to Fuck You!
The
segment about your lives.
Your fucking lives.
You can send us your stories, your questions, comments, concerns, mathematical theories, all to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
So this comes from Pollen Tongue. I love that name.
Mm-hmm.
Pollen Tongue says, "Hola, fellow hoes. First of all, I want to say I love you guys and your podcast. It is literally my favorite."
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Anyways, my best friend and I have been friends since we were children. We're in our 20s now. I am a lesbian and she identifies as straight. In high school, I kind of developed feelings for her, which I told her about, but I never tried anything because she's my best friend and she claims to be straight. Our senior year of high school, we started to have sex. She initiated it every single time. Never
I'm
once.
So straight. I just
had to fuck you to show shit. Exactly. Never once was I the one trying to have sex with her. It never turned into anything else except sex, and we would never talk about it after. So fast forward to 2015, we got an apartment together, and once again she would initiate sex with me almost every single night. She would come in my room, get in my bed, one thing led to another, and my face was in her flower every single time.
Wow.
After, she would cuddle up to me and sleep in my bed. One time we were even in a sex store with our other friends and she tried to get me to purchase a toy for me to use on her. Fast forward again to now, we are not in the apartment anymore, and up to last week, we hadn't had sex since. Last week, she stayed the night with me and once again initiated sex with me and put her flower back on my tongue. I was thinking about all this last night, so I decided to ask her why she has sex with me. Her response was, and I quote, "I don't know, I just wanted some head, and I was with you, so I just asked."
Oh, that is not nice.
This was only in response to the last time we had sex. I felt played in a way, so I literally replied, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, seriously.
And did not ask any more questions. My question for y'all is like, what even is this? Am I being played and allowing it? Or does it sound like something else? I'm so confused. Sorry, this was the length of a novel. Sincerely, Pollen Tongue.
It's actually on the short side.
It's a perfect length, girl.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Try to aim for that, guys. Let me put my phone back on the chair.
Oh, yeah.
I don't She's know. Playing her.
I don't like that. You know what? It seems like, the standard playing of someone.
Yeah.
But also, it also is very involved just to get head. You know what I mean? Although, I guess
it's not really that involved.
They moved in together. Initiate sex every night. Wants sex toys. But
well, I don't think... Oh, I thought you meant involved in the way, like, she was, like, buttering her up or anything like that. She's just asking to have sex with her, and Pollen Tongue enjoys it. Otherwise,
yeah.
She wouldn't be having sex with her, so...
I wonder, and it's like the, don't talk about it afterwards, but they cuddle.
Yeah.
They cuddle with her. And also, knowing, I think it's a little, like... exploitative or whatever, like knowing that your friend is a lesbian and going to your friend for head
yeah
and then being like, oh, it's just
Yeah.
Sad.
I mean, what did she say again? She just said, I wanted some head. I feel like there are people like that who identify as straight. I guess maybe it's romantically or something like that, where they only date the opposite gender mm-hmm. and do seek out people of their same gender.
For sexual pleasure.
Yeah, exactly, which if you want to call that straight, then that's how you identify or yeah. whatever. Other people might not see it that way, and that's fine, mm-hmm. too. What was my point? I think it's totally fine to be like that, but just the way that she responded to Paul and Tung is weird and makes it feel like I'm simply using you for sex, even though they are best friends in the first place. Yeah. It's kind of like what fuckboys do to girls. Like, just because this is, like, a purely sexual thing doesn't mean you have to, like, disregard my humanity and feelings in the situation, too.
But they're best like, friends, though, you know?
Yeah, that makes it even worse. Like, that makes it even worse. It
makes it confusing, because I'm sure they talk about other things.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, just... You know, I wonder, like, the breakdown in communication... If never communication started, mm-hmm. I wonder if this could have been avoided, or at least, you know... If Paul and Tung could have, like, not been in the situation where she felt played, mm-hmm. if there had been a conversation like, okay, this happened, let's talk about it, what mm-hmm. was it, you know? And
cause then but even then, I don't know if her friend was ever going to be...
Like, honest and upfront.
Yeah, and, like, considerate, because maybe she was just honest and upfront. She might actually be using her friend for head, but because that's your friend, and just because people are human beings, you should be more considerate of how you're talking to someone.
Yeah, or at least, like... say that, like, make your intentions clear.
Exactly, but that is being considerate.
Yeah, because, like, if you're, like, your friend is sexually and romantically attracted to women, mm-hmm. and, like, I'm sure they have a close bond, maybe she was just like, oh, not in a million years would Paul and Tung ever have a crush or anything emotional towards me, so.
But her friend did tell her that, didn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, just yeah. kidding.
So she already knows that her friend has at least liked her romantically in the past, so it's, like, extremely exploitative yeah. or whatever.
I don't
like that. Maybe Paul and Tung would be down for just a sexual thing with her friend, but like that's where the other friend needs to be like, not interested in this with you, I'm interested in this, and if you're okay with that, I would like to do this with you.
That's crazy. I would never do that though. Like, I personally would never, like, if I know somebody has the feels for, unless I clearly know that a person is capable of separating mm-hmm. the physical from the romantic or whatever, mm-hmm. I just feel like I wouldn't put my best friend in a position where they could feel used
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are they, you know, is she your best friend? I guess, I mean, if they're close and they live together, but
if
like...
you consider yourself best friends,
yeah, your best friends, but...
Yeah, she's not really treating her right. I don't know. I keep seeing, like, memes like this or whatever, where it's, like, a thing for straight girls to kind of, like, get off on the fact that they, like, get head from their gay best friends or whatever, but there's, like, no strings attached or whatever, and I feel like it's, like... I don't know, it's weird and mean and rude. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a position of superiority, like, yeah, but I still get head on the side or whatever. And I feel like that's kind of like what she's putting her friend through.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
I think that maybe girls get more of a pass because of the way that society talks about gay men versus lesbian women. But, like, if we put this situation in... regards to, like, two dudes doing that or whatever, I think across the board people would say that the straight friend is totally being exploitative of the gay friend.
Totally, you're right. Absolutely. So
she's doing the exact same thing and it's not okay.
Yeah, so she's fucking up.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like she's being a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like...
Or just, like, a good person. Like, even yeah. if you take the best friend aspect out of it, it's not how you should communicate or talk to your sexual partners in the first place. Like, just because something is purely sex doesn't mean you have to be a dick.
Yeah.
I wish people would, like, just of anything else understand that. That and consent.
Yeah. Oh, it's, like, what we talked about with the, like... Although it's different, because you're talking about, like, how guys will, like, expect women to, in heterosexual relationships, expect women to, like, catch feelings,
mm-hmm.
so they stay purposely, like, distanced and, like, very sterile in their conversation so as not to lead the woman on in any mm-hmm. way. And it's just, like, just have more respect for that person's ability to process complicated emotional relationships.
Exactly.
And then,
exactly.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, treat them like a real-ass person.
Yeah, you don't have to be sterile, you just have to say... This is what I want and expect out of this relationship. Do you agree? If not, then we shouldn't carry on.
Yeah.
Just fucking openly communicate. You don't have to be a dickhead.
Word.
But, yeah.
So sorry, Paul and Tung, that you're feeling played.
Yeah, that's a real hurtful thing. Like, yeah. After you just had sex with someone, I just wanted some head. The fuck? Like, if this was a conversation, because they're best friends, right? Like, imagine if a guy did that to Palantun's best friend, and she brought that to, like, the friendship conversation. Everybody would be like, yeah, fuck that nigga. He's rude. Yeah. He's mean.
It could have.
Don't put that shit on your friend.
Word. It could have even been like, I didn't mean any sort of, like, feeling thing. I just...
Like having sex with you.
Exactly. I enjoy your sexual attention a great deal.
Exactly.
And I thought you were enjoying it, too. Blah, blah, blah. Like, there's so many more words that should have been in that sentence.
Like, just the phrase getting some head implies that, like, Palantine was, like, doing a service for her instead of they were engaging in
something together. Exactly. It's called language, you know?
Exactly, exactly.
I was getting some head. It's boastful.
Exactly, it is boastful. Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, sorry, but thank you for writing in. Mm-hmm. And we hope that there's some other lovely flower will come by that you will appreciate and enjoy.
She probably is.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, she just likes having sex with a friend.
Word, right? Yeah.
She's just nice about it.
Yeah, just because she's a good person, I assume. Could be a serial killer.
She's about to say that.
Fucking serial killer who gives great head. I'd fuck with that, you know.
Facts. No. That's it for fuck me? I mean, fuck you?
That's it for
fuck you? That
was
me just saying politics. Fuck me. Another thing, I haven't had sex in mad long. I can use some head right now. It's been a long, it's been like 20 days.
look at
you hear that? Say want some head.
You hear that, man?
Okay, that's it for fuck you. Now on to the show's over. I'm so sorry. Now on to it's like my life.
It's an ending,
my
never-ending
life. Yeah, exactly.
So that's it for this podcast for today and for the rest of your lives. It's the last episode of Hero Up.
Goodbye. No. Hope you guys enjoyed that.
If you didn't, I'm sorry.
Yeah, fuck off. Okay. Buzz off. You can follow us, Slam Pat Productions, which is who we are. On Twitter and Instagram at slam_pow, and you can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Slam Pow Productions. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at slamrid with 2 D's. You can find me on Facebook and Snapchat at SAMANNERZ.
You can find me, Shanika Powell, on Instagram at Shanika Powell, SHANIKAPOWELL, and on Snapchat as Volcano Vulva. Yeah. Can't spell it out, so I won't do it. And then you can find me on Twitter at ShanPowell4.
Wow, the Twitter is back in the game.
Yeah.
Have you used it?
No.
How did you
I just felt like I wanted to say it.
Okay. Well, please review this podcast on iTunes, guys. Please pay a bitch at paypal.me/innerho.
Bitch.
He needs it.
Exactly. And the bitch is Lucas.
Yeah, exactly. Share this podcast with your friends. We're growing a lot every single week.
Yeah.
It's because of you guys.
Yeah, so thank you. Keep doing what you're doing, but do better.
That's funny.
We recently recorded an episode of a podcast from Negroes of the Podcast. We were featured. It'll be out soon, so be on the lookout.
Be on the lookout for that. Now leaving you off with a little something sexy.
Thanks for filming this. I wrote this for you today. Channel, aka Mr. Windy City. Remix! I got the baddest chick on the planet. She ain't mixed, folks be asking if she half Hispanic. She complain about the baby weight, but I ain't panic. Since she got pregnant, she been showing crack like bad mechanic. I rub her feet, I put in work like I was Robin Fenty. The only chick that I hold as much as probably Kinsley. I sit with her and watch Black Ink and Being Married. But never loving hip-hop, that shit get kinda scary. She stand about 6 feet, she used to hoop at Lane. I tried to stick her the other day and got my ankle sprained. I fell deep, tried to leave, but you know the way that you learn best is leaving out the garage and getting hit with that U-turn text. So if you got a girl and she's sexy and she grown, stay your ass at home before you end up all alone. Leave the toilet seat down, always keep your phone. Ask my BM, she got her own ringtone and she was singing, oh.